Rav Dayan Bookman.
Rav Dayan Bookman.
Is he Rav good?
See, this week, people have been hard pressed to miss the signs everywhere about the education going on and political correctness. So I'd like to speak about an inyan to do with, partly the schools comes into it, political correctness, nigeya, to this week's parasha. This week's parasha we find the mitzvah, which says, B'voyachem Elohim, when you come to the land, Asher Ani Ve'eschem Shom, when you come there, it says, Reishis Ariso Yiseichem, the first of you, those Chalo, Torim Ushma, Yugore, take off Rosh Hashchalo. The mitzvah of Rosh Hashchalo, this week's parasha, in that context, also in the context of other issues maybe coming to the schools and education, and also an interesting international money laundering shaila we had came up, difficult shaila, which is also going to get to the same inyan. There's a couple living in New York, let's call them Yaakov and Leah. And if there are many children, they have two children living in Manchester. Let's call Yosef and Dina. So Dina went to visit her parents in America. And she was with her mother for, you know, in the house during the visit. And her mother at that point was ironing her husband's shirts. And she found in the pocket, the breast pocket of one of the shirts, two very wet $100 bills. So she said to her daughter, listen, your father's done it again. You know, he's not going to realize. Yosef Manchester, he's making a birthday party soon. He could use the money, give him $200. So Dina took the money back to Manchester and gave it to Yosef. So Yosef has the shaila. What's he meant to do now? What's the problem? The problem is because whose money did he receive from the sister Dina? Well, the money Dina gave, that her mother gave to her. But whose money did Leah give to Dina? Well, she knows it was her husband's money. Because he left it in the pocket. And she knows his money. So what right does she have to give that money, which is her husband's money, to somebody else? Why? It's based on a fundamental yisoid that mashakons ishakona baila. What a woman owns really essentially belongs to her husband. Which the Mishalachim know, and they try and avoid this. It says, Gabayt tzedakah, ein mekavim mehanoshim, they cannot accept from a woman, ela dovar mu'it, only a minimal donation. Why? Avoloi dovar godl, not something big, it's not a large, substantial amount. Sheches kosei gozl, oiganu, because it's not hers. Because anything she owns belongs to her husband. It's not her money to give away. So since it's not her money to give away, so Leah, Rachel in New York, has no right to give her husband's money away without permission, even to her own son. The Pesach Ketuvah brings an interesting shaila from the Noi de Bihuda, Tinyana Cherek Yerdea. He says, a woman who knew her husband was very tight-fisted, right? And he was not very good at giving tzedakah like he should have been. So she asked the shaila, is she allowed to use the family funds to give the mishulachim what they really should be deserving, what a husband should be giving? Bifrat, it says, Allah is, that based in kaifin al tzedakah, based in have a right to force people to give tzedakah. So she wants to know, is she allowed to? Right? And also, she runs the house, she she's in charge of the affairs to some degree. Right? So is she allowed to do it? So as the Noid Behuda, Veheshi says a tshuva, the gezel gom warhu, it's real gezela, v'chalila lekabel nimena. Right? It's not allowed to take it from her. V'afshe basim koifin astok, you know, basim my force, but it's not her mandate to go behind her husband's back and take the money and give it to a mishulach, even though her husband being tight-fisted. Right? Because me some isha l'shoifetes. Can a woman be a judge of this thing in her own right? Right? V'isha psulotin, isha can't be done, so she has no right to do it. The Stockholm Mishpat from Rabbi Elahu Taka brings down a Rav Po'olim, choose Rav Po'olim, who had a shaila me'enze, with a twist. A woman came, you know, a woman lived, let's say, on a block, you know, with a Gvirsha block, she had a Gvirsha house, and her husband was very tight-fisted, and she says, you know, what am I going to do? Because the Mishlochim come knocking at the door, and every house they go to, if the man's not home, the woman gives them, let's say, $20. Right, and a drink, you know, a piece of cake, whatever it is. And my husband says, no mishlochim in the house, no money. What am I going to do? So in that case, the Rav Po'olim passed, and brings Maran Mintz, says that since her not giving would be going to shame Rabbi Shchunoy Seha, she get a bad name in the neighborhood. Her husband is mechuyev not to give her a bad name, and she's allowed to enforce that. So since that would be a situation where she'd get a bad name by being tight-fisted, even though he's an acid, she'd be allowed then to give the aniyim at least the minimum amount that could be expected from a gevir shtub, just so that she would not get a bad name in the neighborhood. That's only a circumstance where it's where her behavior would be known. The Mishlochim give her a bad name, the neighbors would find out about it. But a situation where you don't have those factors involved, and it's just a question of her wanting to be generous, or feeling bad for the Mishlochim, then she would not be allowed to give money behind her husband's back without his knowledge. Only a dova mu'it, which is, you know, 50p, a pound, you know, just, you shouldn't go empty-handed, which would be in the normal of her normal outgoings in the house. For example, she goes shopping, she bets a chocolate bar for an extra pound, she'd be allowed to do that, because that's the regular running of the house. But to start getting involved in the tzedakah aspect, that she has no reshus to do. I'll illustrate this nekuda more with an interesting shaila we had to do with the school. There was a teacher, let's call her Mrs. Steinberg. So she was leaving school, she'd been teaching there for 30 years. So what the school did was, they got together and they bought her a nice set of embroidered towels, you know, with a big S on them, you know, a nice Katie, beautiful presentation box, and gave it to Mrs. Steinberg. So she came home, and, you know, she was all proud, showed her husband this beautiful set of towels. Her husband says, very, very nice, but it's very coincidental because, you know, next week, our nephew, Yankee Steinberg, is getting married. So let's give him the towels. You know, save him having to buy a present. So the woman thought, well, I mean, it's true that, you know, we're simple people, we don't really need embroidered towels. But one second, a week later, my niece is getting married to Moshe Zaltzman. So let's give him the towels. Because both S's. So, what do you do? Obviously, the Shalom Bais issue would be the correct solution, advisable solution. But halachically, what do you do with the towels? Can he give them to his nephew, Steinberg? Or can she give to her niece, who's going to be Zaltzman? So the halacha is that when a isha receives a matana, gets a present, right, when she's married, the status of that is a hazin of nichsei mulug. Now the halacha of nichsei mulug is that the obal is oichel peiros, and the isha keeps the keren. Meaning, typically, if a isha would have a piece of land, so the man would be allowed to harvest the land, get the fruit from it, and after either he dies or gets divorced, then she reclaims land and goes back. Because she has the actual item. He has a zechus to use the item during while it's existing in the marriage. So in that case, then, they're both wrong. Because he can't give it away, because it's her towels. But she can't give it away either, because he's allowed to use them. So what he should do is, he could die in using them, you know, use them for, let's say, a few years, and when he's finished and when he dies, then she can give them to her neighbor, or her cousin, whoever it was, for the chasen of the gift, which is obviously not the nice thing to do.
Who gave them the first place, we were set to give them to someone else, he's given them that child, and she goes and gives it to Stephen and Elmer later. We're going to have to take that into account.
The das of the noise, the person who gave the matana, the second shuchrech evan oeza, I think Simon Peivov, if Isha receives a present and the giver says to her, I'm giving it to you, I'll tonight that your husband doesn't get his hands on it, the tonight is bottle, it doesn't help, it still belongs to the husband, you can't do such a tonight. If he wants, he could say, I'm giving a present to the Isha, I'll tonight that you use it yourself, that would work, because then she only has the present to use. She doesn't actually own the present altogether. So the school could have been clever. They said, we're giving you these towels for you to use only, and nothing else. Which means the husband has no right to use them, because he didn't get them for that, because they still belong to the owner for everything else. That's a technicality. But the Ikra Yisoid is the Nechsei Mulug, they belong to, the goof belongs to the Isha, the pay, or the usage belongs to the husband, but Yagwan, she does not own the towels herself. She does not have access to the money. Why is this relevant? This is very relevant because the Mishnah, beginning of Trumas, Perik Aleph, Mishnah Aleph, the Mishnah says in Trumas, Chamisha lo yisraimu, five people are not eligible to separate Truma. Avim Tormer, if they did take Truma, Ein Truma son, Truma doesn't count. He seeks out a cheirish, a deaf person, a shoyt, someone's an imbecile, a cotton, a child. Vatoyrem es she'enoi shaloi. And somebody who takes truma on something which is not their own. And also a goy. What's toyrem es she'enoi shaloi? So because the halacha is that when you take truma, it's got to be your dough that you're taking truma from. That's your chal, your tua. So afrashas chal is no different. When it comes to afrashas chala, you have exactly the same nekuda. As the Mechaber Paskins in Hilchas Chala, Simen Shin Chav Ches, Halacha Gimel, Ein Mafrishin Chala, B'loi Rishus Vali, so you cannot take chala unless you have explicit permission from the person who owns the dough. Now, go back to the kitchen. The woman is now in the kitchen, she's kneading a dough. She has to take a frosh as challah. Whose dough is it? Well, we know it's the husband's dough, it's not her dough. So therefore, the choira, her taking a challah, would be essentially, perhaps not ideal, perhaps problematic. So, one could say that, well, she has a din shliach, she's like a shliach of the bailim. And the husband, like, he owns it, but she has the automatic minui as a shliach. She's not a shliach for the bailim. But that's problematic. That's problematic because by Yisoid Godel, which Takla Mishnah Bura brings down, and Simon Reishnun, there's a halacha that a person says, a person, yishtadel lohochin ba'atzmoy, a person should make effort to help prepare, make Shabbos preparations. Right? Like Rav Chista used to chop the vegetables up for the salads. Or Rav Yosef used to chop wood. Right? Rav Zer used to light a fire. So he asked the Shaila, why did they do it? Right? Why did they do it? Why can't they just appoint someone else to do the cleaning of the house for them? You know, and they could soon learn. Why did they, B'davka, separate and take time off learning to do these seemingly meal preparations which could have been done by somebody else within the house? So the Mishnah Berurah explains, because there's a yisoid that we have a mitzvah boy yoser mi bishluchoi. There's always a principle. If a person has the ability to do a mitzvah himself, as opposed to deputizing it to somebody else, it's better he should do it rather than give it over to a shliach. So therefore, it's when you get Hilchas Mila, a person, let's say, almost a bris mila, if a person is capable of doing a bris mila on his own child, he should not appoint a moyel, because mitzvah boy yosem bibishluchoy. You have a mitzvah to do it, it's better you do it rather than somebody else. So since you have a cloud, the yisoid of mitzvah boy yosem bibishluchoy, so therefore, in these cases, it's preferable for the person himself, he's capable, to involve himself in the Shabbos preparations. As I pass in the Mishnah Brura. That's rather only get a mitzvah shabagufoy, a mitzvah where there's a physical necessity to get physically involved in it, where it's mutl on a person to do a mitzvah for Shabbos, and zoyb is mitzvah put on tefillin, you can't do that through a shliach. A mitzvah which is, let's say, help out a poor person, so if you could send somebody else, that's not mitzvah shabagufoy, that's mitzvah just to help the person. There's no actual physical obligation on me to go and help a poor person. So if I can deputize that to someone else, I would be allowed to do that and carry my learning, that'd be preferable. But where it's a mitzvah shabagufoy, where it requires a person to be involved in it, the mitzvah yoy beis mishlocha, do it. So therefore, so in the case of Rosh Hashanah, the staka shaka b'taya, if it's a mitzvah gufoy or not, that's negeya to making a bracha. if you stand up or sit down. If it's a mitzvah reshus, you just have to sit down during the bracha. We pass, you should stand up during the bracha, because it's a mitzvah like a chiyubis, you have to do it. So if it's a mitzvah chiyubis, you have to do it. You've got to take challah, hafrosha, from your dough. Then the husband should take precedence. Now, the mitzvah of challah is, we see the hedges on the baal, he's the person who owns the dough. So the person on the dough, there are many inyonim why a woman should be the one to give the mitzvah of challah. It's brought down a medrash tanchuma that the noshim have three mitzvahs, miyuchad to them. There's challah, nida, and lokas aneir. Those three mitzvahs are special for women. Hafrosha's challah was given davka to women, the medrash says, because he mekalkeles chaloso shel oilam. By Briyas Ha'olam, what happened was, Ribbono Shel created the Adam HaRishon. Chava was instrumental in having him eat from the Eitz Hadas. That is described as being, she's Machrib Chalosa Shel Olam. Why was Adam HaRishon the Chalosa Shel Olam? So Al Pi Kabbalah, they say, how did Hashem create a person? The pasuk says the ground was dry. The Eid Yalem Ino Oretz V'Hishka, a spring burst forth from the ground that watered the land. What happened was, when you put dry earth with water, it makes a dough, a peaty substance. The Baruch Hashem took that and made all the mission from that. As if to say, the whole world is the earth, I'm taking a part of that and making it special, sanctifying that to be the crowning glory of the Bria, which is Adam HaRishon. And she went and messed that up, because she made them do an Aveira. So because of that, her tshuva is to be misakin, to fix up a dough when she does the same thing. When she adds water to dry flour, creates a dough, she takes part of that, like the person took part of it, made Adam HaRishon, and she says, this should be holy, should be Kodesh. So the mitzvah of challah is on her, the davka, also on Friday, because it happened on the Erev Shabbos. So that's why it's a big inyan for an isha to take the hafroshas challah. The Shad is, and said, one second, but she's not the Valisa, she doesn't own it. And to be a Shliach is a problem, because mitzvah bo yoseh mi b'shluchoy. There's also a second problem with being a Shliach as well. Even if we say it's taka mitzvah kiyuvis, not mitzvah chiyuvis, because the halacha on grading a Shliach is quite limiting. If he wants to appoint a Shliach, then he has to follow the correct protocol for appointing a shliach. There's a Tosis, famous Tosis in Nozi Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, who discusses minui shlichus, and he discusses the issue as a problem. How can it be that a person can appoint someone to take challah on their behalf? Like, let's say Isha goes out in the morning, she says to her helper, or a man says to the helper, listen, do me a favor, bake challah for the family today, take off rosha, I'm coming home at 5 o'clock. What's the difficulty? So he says, it's similar to, let's say, a person wants to make a shliach to Mekadesh Isha. He wants to make a shliach, I want to marry this woman. So he said to the shliach, listen, here's the ring, you know, go to that Isha, be a Mekadesher. Right? So the shliach says to her, one second, there's a slight problem. What's the problem? Well, she's still married to somebody else. Nah, don't worry, the get's taking place at 12 o'clock today, 1 o'clock you'll find her, do it then. It doesn't work. The shliachus doesn't work because at the time the shliach was appointed, he couldn't do it himself. Since at 9 a.m. when he wanted to appoint the shliach, he couldn't marry the isha. Because if he'd given her the ring at 9 a.m, she would not have been married. She was still married to somebody else. The fact that she's going to be able to be, she's going to get divorced at 12 o'clock and then be available for marriage, doesn't help for a shlichus taking place at 9 a.m. The shlichus has to take place after the possibility to be Mekadesh's Isha. So, who are they over here? Zogtoy says, Hafroshas Challah, the Chiyuv only starts after you've added the water to the flour. You can't do Hafroshas Challah on dry flour. It doesn't work. Hafroshas Challah only takes place, the Chiyuv, when you've already added the water to the flour and you have a dough. Reishis Ari Soy Seichem, the first of your doughs. You've got to start with a dough. If it's not a dough, you can't do Hafroshas Challah on it. So therefore, Tois says, how is it you can appoint someone a shliach to do afrosha? So Tois brings the Rabbeinu Tam, and he says, If it's within the capability, the possibility of the shliach or the bailim to create the chiyuv hafrosha, then that potential is enough, suffices to allow him to appoint a shliach. So twice it says, for example, let's say I know I've got flour in that cupboard, water in that cupboard. I could mix the two together now. I can't bother doing it now. That is not an equivalent appointing a shliach to perform that frosha. But that's all very well if you have the flour at home. But let's say he makes a shliach and she has to go to the shop to buy the flour. Then it won't help. Because you can't make a shliach if you don't have the kibbutz or the potential to create the chiyuv. So therefore, how is it that it's possible for an isha, a woman, to be the regular mafresh chal in the house, as the great inyan it is, and have Shabbat b'frat, when the chayra, you need to be the baal isha, or at least their appointee, their deputy. And she, the chayra, has an issue with that, unless he's, you know, on site the whole time. So Toyas explains you can't make a minui shlichus unless you're able to do the thing at the time of the minui. This man minui shlichus, when you're appointing a shliach, at that point, that person is becoming you, but you can't do it at that point. Therefore, you cannot make a shliach at that point.
Can you say simple? Like, you give your wife a voucher book. And leave it to her. The same with the chaler. It's self-understood that he is making her.
So the shaila is, can you give your wife a voucher book? It's very good for tzedakah for poor people come to the door giving her a voucher book. That's very good for that. Now, minui shlichus doesn't work with voucher books. It has to be at the time. You can't put it on hold. You can't leave a bubble that she pops and the shlichus flies out, you know, falls on her. You know, like having balloons just pops on every time she wants to be chala. Wouldn't work. The minui has to be at the time. So, there are a couple of tirutzim, how it works. The Poshta Mahalach is that you have a Yisoid, which is well known as Ishtoi Kegufoi. A woman is bemokim her husband, Ishtoi Kegufoi, she's like the goof of the husband. That means she's more than a shliach. When she goes to separate Chala from the husband's soul, she is actually the husband, she's doing his job. Mitzvah boy, and therefore the cloud of Mitzvah Yosef Shluch is irrelevant. Because she is actually the husband. And it's very negel the Maisa, because there's a halacha. If I make a shliach, the shliach is not allowed to pass on that shliach to somebody else. Because let's say I make a shliach to marry somebody. So that shliach has the ring, and the woman got divorced yesterday, so she's available. And, you know, he's watching, you know, waiting for the woman to come. And she's waiting outside the store at 9 o'clock to marry this woman for the other fellow. And there's a big line outside the store. So he says, listen, do me a favor. He says, you marry this woman for Reuven, I'm going to the store to get the bread before it runs out. Doesn't work. Because you cannot pass on a shlichus. If you're a shliach, you cannot pass it on to somebody else. Because your shlichus is to carry out the event that you are contracted to be a shliach for. And not to make another shliach. That's different shlichus. So therefore, if the woman is a Torah shliach, she could not ask somebody else to do it for her. So therefore, if the woman was going out, she would not be allowed to make somebody else a shliach. So if you say Ishtoi Kegufoi, then she's mocking the Baalim. She herself has shlita. She has dominion over the Afrosha's Chala. And therefore, she would be allowed to ask somebody else to do Afrosha for her. This is very Nigea, because this klal only would help by a wife. Anybody else who's going to be mafrish challah in the house will not have the leeway of Ishtoi Kegufoi. And therefore, they will be bound by the limitations of what we've discussed now. Very negeah, we know, we've spoken about before, ketanim or even gedoyim, adult children in the house, girls befrat. If the father is responsible for their financial upkeep, the Femech al Shulchonai, which is a typical case, then they essentially do not own the things in the house. And therefore, they would not be able to perform a Rosh's Chala without specific instruction from the husband. Rather, because Ishtoi Kegufoi, the wife can also give a shus to perform a Rosh. But so again, let's say you have a bunch of girls home in the summer. And everyone's out, and they decide, you know, we're bored, let's bake something, let's bake some cakes. for make everyone happy. They take the bag of flour, make the cakes, kneadu hafrosha. Very not straightforward, because they don't have the special permission to do so. There is a halacha, which Rav Dan Ramah says, that there is a mishareses, somebody who's always in the house and always bakes as standard. They are expected, it's understood they'll be baking. There could be a yesoid that it's understood there's an echusa from the side of the bayim. He's happy for, the owner would be happy for them to do a hafrosha.
So that's well.
Where does this come from? Now, this is not the Kuli Alma. This comes from a Truma Sedeshin. The Truma Sedeshin says over the following story. There was a woman who told her helper, bake the dough, make bread for us. I'm going to the market, I'll be back in 2 hours. So the Mishares says, the helper prepared the dough. She'd been given no instruction to take challah, so she didn't take challah. She knows halacha, you can't take challah till the lady comes home. So the dough's rising, 2 hours go by, 3 hours go by, late doesn't come home. 4 hours go by, doesn't come home. What's she meant to do? Because the dough's going to rise too much, it's going to go sour, so she's stuck. What's she meant to do? So the Truma Sedeshin says that Yisoid, we have a klal of Zochin L'Odom Shaloi Befonov. That means I can do somebody a favor even if he's not around. For example, if I want to give someone a present, so I don't need the person there to be here. If I want to give Yanko a present, Yanko's not here, I can say to Reuben, listen Reuben, be zoiche, I want you to acquire this item to benefit Yanko. And it works. Because zochin la'odom shaloi b'fonov. I can give somebody something, I can give someone something as a chus, if it's in their best interests, and if I don't need their das, I don't need their knowledge, I don't need to be here. It works. So zochin shaloi b'fonov. This dough is going to go sour unless you do hafrosha on it quick. So therefore, because if we don't do the hafrosha, the whole thing's going to go in the garbage. So therefore, loinzech is worthwhile for the owner of the house to allow the mishares to do it. So the mishares, as the helper, performs the hafrosha. It's in the best interest of the owner, and therefore she can get away with it, even though the owner doesn't know about it. Without shlichus, without bal isa, anichusa, the happiness, what? Because she will certainly be happy, that gives her the shoes to do it.
Can you not bake it
and
take later?
Fred, the Ketzayis HaChoshen. The Ketzayis HaChoshen argues on the Truma Sedeshin. One of the times he says is, what's the urgency? Bake it first. Hafrosha on baked goods is just as effective as Hafrosha performed on dough. So there's no urgency. The people of Chalikon that stick up Truma Sedeshin and say it's true, but the Ikur Mitzvah is Rishis Arisoi Zechem to form it on a dough. Since the Ikur Mitzvah is on a dough, therefore there would be an Ichusa, the Bailim would be happy, even though technically you could perform a Hafrosha later on, but since the Ikur Hafrosha, the main Hafrosha, should be performed when it's a dough, therefore the Mashreset would be allowed nonetheless to perform that Hafrosha when it's still a dough and not wait for the Bayim. This is Grazman Neger. We've spoken about this a few times in the evening. Are you saying it's going to be a dough? You can't take Hafrosha from a batter. A batter is what you use to make sponge cakes. If a person has a batter which you use to make sponge cakes, you can't take Hafrosha from the batter. You've got to wait till it's baked. This is Avni Nezer says you're acting from batter, but it's very sure why, because the chayot is a liquid, it's not a dough. Doughs are going to be a hard substance. If it's a runny batter, you can't take a hafrosha, you have to wait till it's baked from hafrosha when it's baked. There's a lot of complications, the hashkoch is very busy with how to do it. Not our noise, but if a person is baking at home a large amount of sponge cakes, the hafrosha needs to be done after they're all baked, not before. But the Ketzayis HaChoshen says, I have a problem with the Zochin L'Odom Shloi B'Fonov. Because principally, when I have a Zochin L'Odom Shloi B'Fonov, a Zechus, that only is where it's a real Zechus. Where the fellow is getting something for nothing. So Yanko is getting the present. So Reuben Zoich B'Yanko. Where's Zochin L'Odom Shloi B'Fonov? Zochin L'Odom Shloi B'Fonov. But how does the Hafrosh Chala work? You take somebody's Isa, and you remove a part of it. And that part is Nisraf, it's burnt, and all the time is given to the Koyain, but it's costing the fellow money. it's costing that piece of challah. There's a loss involved. Says the Ketzoyis, you cannot say zochin la'odom shloi b'fonav where a loss is being incurred in the action. So the Ketzoyis says you cannot rely on this. And even though there may be a nechusa at the end, there could be a nechusa, there could be a happiness, the Bayim could be happy in the end, but at the time of that frosha, nechusa is insufficient. You need a shlichus. So if it's zachin l'adam shloi b'fonav,
there
is a very famous shaila. Chosh mishpat. A person had two stamps. The only two stamps in the world. Each one was worth $500,000. So a fellow comes up and rips up one stamp. He says, "What have you done? That was worthless. That was $500,000. He says, "No, you don't understand. That was only one in the world. It's worth $1.5 million. So up till now, your net worth was $1 million in worth valuable stamps. Now you've gone up $1.5 million. Great, you made a profit. So I want to charge you for the work of taking out the stamp." Halacha is, he's chayav to pay $500,000. Why? Because you damaged $500,000. Now the fact there's a profit in the end isn't ahead of you to go and cause any loss first. That's the Ksesa Cheshen. Can't do it. It's not going to work. So, based on this Ksesa Cheshen says you cannot do it. That Rosh Hashanah cannot be done. He does not hold of the side of Zachin La'odom. He doesn't hold Zachin La'odom is applicable over here. And since it's applicable over here, therefore, the Meshoreses cannot do the Hafrosha.
It's not causing the loss because he could have had to do it anyway.
There's a shayla of toirim min hayofe. There's a shlichus by the problem. You need a shlichus by hafroshas chala. One reason you need a shlichus by hafroshas chala is because sugimba in the edam tzius of toirim min hayofe. If I tell someone to go and take chala or take truma, the point says, if I say to Reuven, do me a favor, go to my creek, go to my warehouse, take truma from the shul over there. So Reuven's on his way, and Shimon heard. Shimon quickly runs there and takes truma. Doesn't work. Even though we know Reuven wants truma to be taken, but it doesn't work because when you take truma, you don't know exactly which part he wants to take from, how he wants to take, how much he wants to give. You don't know. So since you're lacking that knowledge, therefore you can't be sure at the time of the Hafroshas Truma that that's really what the binding wants. So even if afterwards it comes along and says, okay, but you have a problem, it's not straightforward, it works. So looking over here, it's true there may be a Nechusa, but the Ksari says Nechusa is not Shlichus. Nechusa is, oh, I realized afterwards he was happy with it, fine, get away with it. That does help in certain eyes. It does not help when you need a shlichus. And since Hafroshas Chala requires a shlichus, you've got to be a messenger of the Pharaoh at the time of Hafroshah, because Ein Mafrishna Adovash Ein Ushlo, you can't do Hafroshah on something which is not yours, therefore it wouldn't work. The Shuvah on a Yom Tov speaks out this Inyan, very interesting Shuvah. It's kind of Yom Tov, Simen Kuf Yud Aleph. He has a shayla, he clears a shayla like this. He says, what's halacha if I'm in somebody's house and I'm a guest there? Halacha is I'm allowed to eat the food, what's normal. I can go to the fridge, take something. That's understanding. If I'm in the house, let's say, and there is food there, let's say there's a roglach over there, and they've not yet had a hafrosha, take chal taken. Is the guest allowed to take hafrosha chal from it? And the argument is, well, listen, he said I can go and eat them. So I can eat them, so I could eat a whole lot. So therefore, let me go and take a frosh as chal as well. What's the problem? Zog the oinig yomtiv. Reshus to eat is not a bilus. You don't own it. So therefore, even though it's true you are allowed to eat, and if there's a frosh taken, you can eat it, and you're not called a ganav, but not being a ganav is insufficient to allow you to be a shlech to take that frosh. And therefore, you need a specific instruction to take that Hafroshas Chala. Without the specific instruction, you can't be called a Shliach. If you're not called a Shliach, it will not work. Now, you have Tumas Deshen, it doesn't work as a Nechusa, okay, but if we go in the Ketzai Zachoyeshen, ours is on the Tumas Deshen, it's not going to work. It's brought down halacha that you should be machmir on the Ketzai Zachoyeshen, because it's a starker taina. This is very negea to the hashkochas. Because the hashkacha is not a problem. Hashkacha is you have let's say a group of mashkichim. They go around and do hafrosha in the bakeries. You know, all over the world this goes on. And the question is, how do they halachically do it? So I say, well, they're shliach. Well, the problem with that is that, you know, when I, you know, I own the bakery, I contract the Beis Din, say, listen, do me a favor, I need you to, or the MH, I need you to do the hafroshes, and they say, we don't do that, it's too complicated. you know, it's like the alcoholic drinks, the simcha, no responsibility. So I say, can you do the hafroshes challah? So they say, okay, no problem, sign the dotted line and we'll do it for you. 3 years later, they're doing hafroshes challah on that signature. The wheat hadn't even been planted yet. It's not like they didn't own the flour yet. So even the wheat hadn't been planted. Like, it's Dor Shlom L'Olam, En Echad Dor Shlom L'Gog L'Mizeh. How does it work? So, the answer is, they rely primarily on the Trumas Hadeshah. Now, there's a Truma from Rebbe Yashiv and Koyevitz Trumas about it. And he wants to say that you have a sort of Yad Poel Yad Balabais. That a worker is, as I be ishtoik gufoi, you have yad poil, a worker is the mokum the balabais. If a yad poil balabais, therefore the poil can do like a balabais, it's the same person. So if I'm an employee of the baker, so therefore, or the baker, the person who owns the bakery, I would be allowed then to go and pour a fresh on his behalf. That only, that, the problem is, typically a mashkiach is not an employee of the bakery. The mashkiach is an employee of the hashkocha, and the hashkocha are not the best. So the sort of yad poil, kiyad balbais of the Rebbe Yashiv will not be applicable in most halachic situations where the hashkocha is coming in and being an outside body doing the hafrosha. If they have an employee doing the hafrosha, that's very good. But that would be complicated for the hashkocha to make sure the employee is around to do it. So that doesn't really work. The main chassid has a tshuva about an ongoing shlichus. He said he put a sign up, and you know, it can work given the fact that there's not much other alternative. Again, it's not the velech atchila. So somebody suddenly who does not want to rely on the Trumas Hadeshah would be essentially need to take a frosha at home on anything bought from a commercial bakery, because the mini shlichus is very shvach. It's not very good. The OU discuss this in their Kashrus Manifesto, which is you know, the document they circulate to the Mashkichim. They have the same problem. They have a way of getting around it for practical reasons. What the OU do is they have these huge bakeries running things, obviously owned by Yidden. Again, anything owned by a goy is not chiv challah. So any item which is you know, just you know, they go to a goyish factory and make a run, that's the problem of challah. The Jewish bakeries are a problem. The OU have a production of matzahs. They make a lot of matzahs without taking challah from them. So they've got boxes and boxes of matzahs, which are tevel, which have not had that fresh challah taken from them. And these boxes of matzahs are circulated around the factories. What the mashkiach does then is he takes those matzahs and makes a fresh, he says, basically, practically, you take the matzah box and you say, that dough over there, I'm using this to fresh on that dough. That works, as mukuf, that's Allah we spoke about in the evening. That hafrosha works. The mile of that is, whose matzahs is hafrosha being taken from? Well, the hafrosha's matzahs being taken from the OU's matzahs. It's not the bakery's matzahs. So therefore, the time of the Ktois HaChoshen, that you can't do zoch in other shlubi fonov, where there's a loss taking place, even though the hafrosha's had, but there's a loss taking place, that's not a problem. Because the OU are using their own matzahs to perform hafrosha on the dough in the bakery. So therefore, even the Ktois HaChoshen would moide in this case, that you have a sort of zoch in other shlubi fonov to allow the hashkocha to do that frosha on behalf of the bakery. There are many issues with this, not like in all circumstances. They don't have that system over here, so therefore it's not ideal. But al kapon, nonetheless, the person can warrant land to possession, it can be done. There's yesh amalismoich, and there's much more to discuss. Mish Shem, a different time.
With a mouse.